All right. In a recent podcast hosted by LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, Bill Gates insisted that humanity would need a, quote, new religion or philosophy to cope with the reality of artificial intelligence and the technological conquest of the world. We're going to cover that in today's podcast. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, folks, we've been talking about the prophetic ramifications of AI, how it's going to play a role in the end times. And there has been so many open discussions, whether it be in the form of podcasts or blogs or even in general conversations about how artificial intelligence continues to evolve and continue to turn into something made of our nightmares. And what I believe is biblical in terms of prophecy is this accelerating right before our eyes. Let me show you an article today. Before we get started, guys, can you do me a favor? Again, hit that like button. This helps us out, gets eyes on our program. And you can take it a step further, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button for your benefit to keep up with this here on YouTube and Rumble or whatever platform you may be watching. All right, this is this is from the Blaze Media. This is Glenn Beck. I want to read this article to you. Bill Gates demands a, quote, new religion for humanity. On a recent podcast called Possible, which again is co-hosted by LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, Bill Gates insisted that humanity would need a new religion or philosophy to cope with the reality of AI and the technological conquest of the world. In his final comment on the episode, which Hoffman calls a tour de force, Gates reflects at length on the, quote, spiritual situation he believes unbridled tech is coursing us into. Wow, what a statement. Again, he says the spiritual situation he believes that unbridled tech is coursing us into. The potential positive path is so good that it will force us, think about it, to rethink how should we use our time. Gates went on to say that, quote, you know, you can almost call it a new religion or a new philosophy of, okay, how do we stay connected with one another? Not addicted to these things that'll make video games look like nothing in terms of the attractiveness of spending time on them. On the surface, Gates seems to advancing a claim plenty of people can agree with. And that's the idea that the coming virtual world will be so tempting to disappear into that only a deep source of spiritual authority will be enough to remind us that we're still best off sharing life together as human beings as we are. But it's not just the virtual world he's discussing here. In this podcast, Bill Gates makes the assumption that technology will make obsolete at least some of the words of Christ, such as, quote, you have the poor with you always, as in always there for you to help and serve. Now, one might say that if physical sickness and hunger are solved problems, many might still or especially suffer from mental and spiritual illness and thirst, but even that logic is not what Gates is interested in. He's more concerned about sports. Quote, yes, sports, you know, do we ban AI being used in certain endeavors so the humans get some? You know, like you don't want robots playing baseball, probably. He went further and said, quote, because they'll be too good, so we'll keep them off the field. Okay, how broadly would you go with that? So basically what Bill Gates is pitching here, guys, is that he envisions a, quote, religion for AI to guide humanity's future. And it sounds like from the verbiage here that he believes that AI will evolve to the point where it will make the Bible obsolete because we won't have the poor with us anymore because there'll be a level playing field. We won't have sickness and disease because in the advancement of technology and AI being part of that, will bring about modern advancements in medicine. And guys, he's not alone on this philosophy. We're seeing AI just take over every sector. Look, I want to show you this article right here. This was an interesting one too. Quote, forget facelifts and Botox. Come on, let me talk to the ladies here. Forget about facelifts and Botox. And you say, well, I don't even get that anyway. But listen, for the small group out there that may do that, listen to this. The future is cyborg. Now, again, this is the dream of all these innovators, guys, that quote, there was a time when the word cyborg only belonged in the pages of sci-fi novels and big screen blockbusters. Bionic arms, glowing blue eyes, and robo voices spitting out lines like, I'll be back. We pictured a future full of $6 million men and Terminators. But here's the twist. What once seemed like a futuristic fantasy or a nightmare, depending on your mood, I guess, is now becoming our reality. And here's the shocker. You don't need to be a Jeff Bezos-type billionaire with a yacht to be a part of it. And there, my friend, is, once again, the selling point. Again, this technology has to be reduced to a level playing field. It has to be repackaged. It has to be available and made available for the common people in order for them to embrace it. So there has to be a sales pitch to this. Quote, that's right. Human augmentation isn't reserved for billionaires in spacesuits. Everyday people are getting access to technology that enhances their bodies and their minds in ways we could have never imagined just a few decades ago. From neural implants that let you control machines with your thoughts to prosthetics that move just like your own limbs. In today's new high-tech world, we're stepping into an era of augmented humanity. What does this even look like? We are talking about redefining what it means to be a human being in the 21st century. Let me read this to you. Quote, human augmentation is not just the stuff of sci-fi. It's happening right here, right now. In the past few years, companies like Neuralink, hello, Elon Musk, have been pushing the boundaries of what's possible with brain-computer interfaces. Neuralink's goal is to develop devices that allow people to control computers, phones, and even prosthetic limbs with their thoughts. Imagine thinking about turning on your phone and boom, it's done. Listen to this chilling line. This is not the future, guys. It is the present. This is happening right now. These are all in discussions. These have to do with brain implants. Neuralink is brain implants, these chips that go into the brain. But this is only what they're saying is the tip of the iceberg. We've been dipping our toes into human augmentation for years now, thanks to the prosthetics and wearable tech. Take prosthetic limbs, for example. We've reached a point where bionic arms and legs can be controlled by the user's thoughts through neural implants, giving amputees almost full functionality. And the best part, you don't have to be swimming in billionaire money to get on top of this. Companies like Open Bionics are making prosthetics more accessible and affordable than ever before. And if you think augmentation is limited to people with medical conditions, think again. Wearable tech like exoskeletons is being developed for construction workers, athletes, and even the military to enhance physical capability. Stop. Remember, Elon Musk has stated that he wants Optimus, his robots, in every home across America and the world. And again, I mean, we're talking about a real life iRobot scenario. And then we're talking about exoskeletons. You don't want to talk about that in the military. We're talking about these super soldiers, these super AI soldiers. We've been talking about that. And nations like China, they are drooling over stuff like this. They would love to get their hands on this, and they already have this technology. And I believe this is what's going to, those 10 toes on Nebuchadnezzar's vision that he had, or that dream, and where in which he had that dream of all those empires, and then you get down to the 2 feet, which again was Rome, and it was split east and west. Then you get down to the 10 toes, And it says they are partially iron and clay. This is why, again, I believe one of the interpretations of this could literally mean that these 10 kings and kingdoms that will rise in the last days, they will have this technology. They will be able to advance their armies that will be cyborgs. They'll be half human and half metal or iron, if you would. Now, you may be listening and say, wait a minute, what about, I want to hear about the Botox and facelifts. Okay. Quote, the days of Botox and facelifts could be numbered as cyborg technology begins to edge out the more common cosmetic procedures. Why settle for temporary fixes or invasive surgeries when you could opt for permanent, listen to this, tech-driven enhancements? What in the world? Imagine implants that naturally tighten your skin or microchips that regulate muscle tone, giving you that youthful glow without the constant maintenance. Stop. We are talking about implantable microchips in your skin for a benefit to you that will be, again, that will be desirable to a genre of people out there, a particular group of people, a niche of people who will see this and they're like, well, I want to be youthful. I want to get rid of the bags under my eyes. I want to get rid of the drooping. I want to get this lift in my face. And now it's affordable to me. Why would I not do this again? But look how it is conditioning society. You're going to get this. It's conditioning society to put something in their body. Now, where did I hear that before? Oh, that's right. Revelation 13. Something will go in the right hand or in the forehead, which again will be required to buy, sell, and trade. So forget about booking another filler appointment. This is the future, where anti-aging is less about needles and more about nanotech. It's the kind of upgrade that makes yesterday beauty trends seem downright primitive. Even now, 3D technology is making massive strides in the world of facial plastic surgery. I'm going to pull this up on your screen. I don't want to play the video, so we don't want to get hit with a copyright. But here is a before and after, and this was not done through surgical procedures. This was done through this, quote, nanotech technology. These implants, these microchips these microchips that regulate, quote, muscle tone. This is unbelievable, guys. Now, I like this little disclaimer here. Quote, the rise of human augmentation raises a laundry list of ethical questions, and it'd be reckless not to address some of them. If we can enhance the human body and mind, should we? Where do we draw the line between necessary augmentation like prosthetics for amputees and enhancements purely for the sake of enhancement? One major concern is accessibility. While we've seen costs drop for things like prosthetics and wearables, more advanced augmentations like brain implants and gene editing. Yes, folks, gene editing. CRISPR and these other companies, they're altering genes so that you can literally create a designer baby where you show up and you say, I want my baby with this color, with the probability of this color eyes. I want them to have this skin tone. I want them to have I don't want them to have sugar diabetes I don't want them to have any remote possibility that they'll develop this autoimmune disorder or this. So they can literally make their list, take it to these laboratories with these scientists, with these people. They're way over my pay grade and understanding how they're doing this stuff. But they're literally playing God by altering genes and editing them, manipulating them to manufacture and create human beings that are desired and that are handpicked by the recipients. Now, I don't know, this that may not bother you, but that you want to talk about ethnical boundaries that are crossed? Quote, are we headed for a future where the wealthy can literally buy their way into being smarter, stronger, and faster than the rest of us? And then there's the fear of dehumanization. When do we cross the line between human and machine? After all, isn't our humanity tied to our flaws, our physical quirks, our emotional ups and downs, even our mortality? If we start upgrading ourselves, do we risk losing that spark? Yeah, like your soul? Or, as some would argue, do we evolve into something even better? Oh, here we go. It's a tricky balancing act, and the ethical questions it raises are massive. Here's another headline. Quote, AI chatbots are, quote, the new priest. I mean, I saw this, and again, this all ties in with what we're talking about today. Listen to this. Quote, this is from Microsoft, but I believe it's from, yes, it's from Insider. So this is from Insider. I want to read this. Kathy, what should I do about my social anxiety? An acronym, again, Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, is an acronym for churchy answers that help you. What? Kathy is a new AI chatbot that answers faith-based questions from the perspective of a friendly, knowledgeable Episcopalian, despite its feminine name, the priest bot. As Kathy sometimes calls itself, quote, sometimes Kathy calls itself is genderless. There are no ornate flowing robes or croziers either, but like a wise cleric, Kathy jumped right in with an answer. Dealing with social anxiety can be challenging, but there are several approaches that might help, the bot responded. Practice relaxation techniques and challenge your negative thoughts. What about when I feel like panicking? I asked. Quote, it's generally best not to do that, Kathy said. Oh, okay. This is what the first of several signs that Kathy may not be ready to answer like life's deepest questions. So what is this? Developing funded by the Eukonomical Group Tri-Tank Research Institute, Kathy uses large language models from OpenAI's ChatGPT and has ingested the Book of Common Prayer and the entire Episcopal Church website. Kathy represents our innovative approach to leveraging technology in support of spiritual exploration. Let me say that again. This AI chatbot represents our innovative approach to leveraging technology in support of, quote, spiritual exploration. They see this bot as a, quote, virtual guide to the Episcopal Church for existing and potential congregants. Kathy is designed to translate the Bible into relatable language geared towards younger audiences. It can also serve as a tool for priests by helping them build sermon outlines. Guys, this reminded me of this. This was a, now this is an older article. This was shared back in, this was 4 years ago. But look at this. Robot priests can bless you, advise you, and even perform your funeral. Now, again, this priest named Mindar is holding forth at Kadaji, a 400-year-old Buddhist temple in Japan. Like other clergy members, this priest can deliver sermons. It can move around to interface with worshipers, but Mindar comes with some unusual traits, a body made of aluminum and silicone. Again, Mindar is a robot. It is a $1 million machine that that was created to attempt to reignite people's passion for their faith. What? It's amazing to think that a church would go to these extremes to, quote, reignite people's passion for their faith. I mean, we think fog machines are crazy and light shows and sword swallowers and everything else that they're bringing into church in the name of entertainment to try to draw crowds. Now we're creating million-dollar robots that are replacing humans to preach to them and to, quote, give them spiritual advice. Guys, all of this, and remember, these elites, like Bill Gates, is saying that they envision a religion for AI. that we're going to have to create a new religion for AI, for this is humanity's future. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to play, quote, devil's advocate, if you would. So I used ChatGPT and I asked a question. How could AI create a new religion? And I want to give you the answers it gave me. Quote, there is core philosophy and beliefs. AI could generate ideas based on existing religions and philosophical texts, finding common themes like love, compassion, justice, or enlightenment. It could also incorporate contemporary issues like sustainability or technological roles in society, crafting a belief system that resonates with modern values. In other words, we got to create a belief system that resonates with all religions. All right, here's a second one. Mythology and narratives. Stories are crucial to religion, and AI could quote, this one's chilling. This one is chilling, in my opinion. AI could, quote, create myths, parables, and origin stories to give the religion a unique narrative. AI could develop narratives that feel timeless and meaningful. All right, then there's number three, symbols and rituals. Using data on human psychology and cultural studies, AI could generate symbols, rituals, and practices that people might find that resonate with them. Rituals could be designed around both traditional practices, quote, meditation and communal gatherings, and new practices based on rituals like virtual gatherings or meditative apps. Look, this one's chilling too. Number four, being that most of society has moral and ethical codes, AI could help design one based on universally accepted ethical principles like empathy, honesty, or even something futuristic like harmonious human-AI relations or sustainability. Number five, community and structure. Religion often relies on communal practices and organizational structures. AI could help create guidelines for community building, recommending ways to integrate online and offline spaces, including concepts of digital temples or rituals that encourage social bonding. Digital temples. You ever heard of AI church? You know that's a thing, right? They started delving into that, 2 years ago? Now, this one is crazy here, too. Adaptation and growth. AI could bring the ability for the religion to adapt dynamically. Listen to this. Just as software receives updates, the beliefs or practices could evolve based on follower feedback, making it flexible and evolving and an evolving belief system. In other words, this new AI religion is ever evolving and flows with the culture. Kind of sounds like the church today, right? And then number seven, AI could compile an initial set of sacred texts from selected writings, selected poems or teachings. These could be structured to offer guidance or inspiration across various life situations, similar to religious texts that followers return for wisdom. I am still convinced that all of this, guys, is going to be incorporated. I'm talking about AI, and it's going to be directly incorporated in Revelation 13 with the image of the beast. And when this thing is created, I believe it's going to possess these very things that we just talked about today. And again, the elites are looking for it. There's even religious leaders and faith leaders out there that are all on board for this. I mean, we just showed you a temple in Japan that is all on board for a robot speaking to them. We have churches now that are letting AI generated sermons being preached at their churches. We've got people that are looking for AI chatbots to give them spiritual advice instead of the Bible. They don't want the Bible. They don't want priests. They don't want a pastor. They just want to go online on their computer and get advice from something that can be altered or is always evolving. Guys, you know what this does? This spells deception on a grand scale, and consequently, That is exactly where this is leading. So guys, I'll leave you with Luke 21:28. Again, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments, in the chat room. Again, let us know your thoughts there. What do you think about this? We would love to hear you add to the conversation. And again, help us out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And guys, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Every headline, every prophecy update, every breaking news, everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. And guys, before we sign out today, if this ministry is a blessing to you, as always, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can do it electronically through the app, through the website, or there's a support that's linked. The link there is pinned at the top there on YouTube. You can click there. There's a link you can directly give to electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So I know everybody's on here today and be like, why aren't you talking about the election? Guys, we're going to dedicate all of tonight. So come back here tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to get you up to par on everything. We're going to discuss the victory that Trump has achieved. What does it mean? Where are we going from here? And things we need to be paying attention to, things we need to be in prayer about. And we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of what just took place in America. So you don't want to miss this. It's going to be a great, informative podcast. And again, this will be tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. So again, before we sign out today, I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is surely drawing near. God bless you guys. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.